Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us today for the first time on our show, Mike Mayock, currently doing the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. Mike, appreciate your time today.
Spike and Ike, what's happening, boys?
What's up, Mike?
So I have to say this, Mike. After like 5 minutes of doing a radio show with my dad, I want to murder him. How is it doing the podcast with your daughter constantly? Is any clashing or is it okay?
I'm guessing she feels the same way about me.
Sounds good.
Oh, man, she loves doing this because of you. Yeah, because of you.
Ike, I always like talking to you, man. You see that glass half full, brother.
Yeah. So Mike, it's been an interesting few days in Eagles land with AJ's comment after the game on Sunday, then Brandon Graham on Monday, then both guys talking about it yesterday. Just from watching this evolve, what has been your gut instinct in seeing all of this?
I mean, do you want my overview of what I saw on tape on the game Sunday and what I think they can do to fix it, or are you just talking about locker room culture?
I guess let's do the – I want both, actually. But let's do the on-tape thing second and the dynamics of what happened first.
Yeah, I don't think people outside Philadelphia or the Northeast realize how tough a corridor this is in the NFL. I mean, there are other cities around the country where this wouldn't even be a ripple. You know, I was the Raiders GM for 3 years, and I used to kind of just think back to all the press conferences I was a part of at Philly and say, wow, this is different. but having said that, I saw – you know, we all went through what happened last year, and that's constantly a specter. And you see the sideline language. Then you hear the comment afterwards, what's wrong with the offense, passing, you know. So I get all that. But every wide receiver or almost every wide receiver I've ever met in my life that's any good has some diva in them. And they all want the frickin' ball, every one of them. And I don't blame them. That's part of what makes them great. So there's a part of me that says, let's just relax. It's really not that big a deal. And what surprised me was the Brandon Graham thing on Monday when he came out and started talking about the relationship between the two, et cetera. I think that kind of added fuel to the fire, opened the door a little bit wider for speculation. So I think it's really important that they come out and play really good football. I think A.J. Brown is smart enough. I think he's a smart guy. I think he knows what's going on. I think Jalen is a really smart guy. He knows what's going on. And, you know, on the one hand, Nick has got to get the football to AJ to calm things down. On the other hand, you can't be obvious and you can't overdo it. So there's a fine line, and I'd like to think the Eagles are going to be able to navigate it.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing, Mike, and I know the players are – the primary principles when discussing this thing. But the way Nick Sirianni has sort of handled this week as well, I've been thoroughly impressed with him and sort of how he's trying to keep this thing together. How do you think he navigates through all of this himself?
Yeah, I think it's important that your leader stands up and takes everything on himself. And then I think the other thing they have, Ike, that helps them this year maybe more than last year is they've got a couple of really mature coordinators Mm-hmm. You know, between, so I think the defense is playing at a completely different level, and I think Vic Fangio's a big part of that.
Yeah.
I think the offense, Kellen Moore, comes in, and neither of them gets really shaken. This team's been kind of remade, and Saquon Barkley is the story, and I think they have an identity, which I didn't know what their identity was last year, even when they were winning a lot of games. Mm-hmm. This is a physical, tough football team that wants to close out games running the football. That's a great identity. Play great defense. And so to answer your question, I think Nick's doing a good job. I also think the coordinators will take a bigger piece of this and help them play at a high level on Sunday. And we all know the better they play on Sunday, the less this is a story.
Mike Mayock is with us now.
Yep.
So Mike, but onto the what you see on tape in the passing game, because I think we can all agree, though they have a running identity, there does seem to be a lot of meat left on the bone in the passing game. So what are you seeing there?
This is really intriguing. And I go back to players make plays, okay? And the Eagles are really fortunate that they have 11-6. They're two of the best wideouts in all of football. So they have to be on high alert for whenever you get a single matchup on either one of those guys, right? And because of Barkley, they get more single high safety looks and more single coverage than elite receivers around the league usually do. And that's because of Barkley, okay? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So whenever Jalen Hurts gets to the line of scrimmage and gets single coverage on one of those two guys, he's got to make a concerted effort to get the ball to him. And I think the key word here is trust. Jalen's got to trust that if he throws a comeback early, gets the ball out of his hands and throws it early, even if J.C. Horn looks like he's in pretty good position, he's got to trust that his wide receiver isn't going to let him undercut the route. Mm-hmm. Okay? You don't stare him down and pat the ball twice and then decide to throw it elsewhere. There was a play in the first half on 3rd and 7, and it was a classic pre-snap, single high, press coverage, J.C. Horn on A.J. Brown, 3rd and 7. And your eyes as a quarterback have to light up, and you got to let that guy go make a play. I don't care if it's back shoulder, high point, I don't care what it is, but he's your dog, go feed him. Mm-hmm. Force the ball into him and trust that A.J. is going to take care of it, okay? What happened on that play is he looked right at him, patted the ball, took some time, and made a bad throw late over the middle to a backup tight end. And I would ask you the question, would you rather have him throwing in rhythm to A.J. Brown one-on-one on any corner in the league with a back shoulder potential, or just try to hope to get it to a backup tight end over the middle and pick up the first down? And so the combination of those two things, like that single high one-on-one matchup, and also the comeback, the digs, the deep curls that take a little time to develop. Several times he looked right at both of those guys and decided not to try to fit it in. Again, trust them. Trust those guys. They're great players. They'll take care of you. They're not going to let that corner undercut it. So I think Jalen's got to trust it more. And the last thing I would say about that is that I think he's taken better care of the football, and I think a lot of it is a direct result of last year with all the turnovers. I think he's trying to be really careful, but when you got two guys like that in single coverage, you got to force that ball in.
Yeah.
So, you know, how would you grade Jalen's progression from where he was as a second round pick to now? We actually went back and looked at some of the draft prospectus stuff on him before and looking at his strengths and weaknesses, and you can kind of see him now. How have you seen him evolve as a quarterback since then?
I think it's been really interesting because, like, I played against him in 21 when I was with the Raiders, and watching the tape before the game, I was just hoping they wouldn't take the harness off of him. It looked like they were trying not to let him make too many mistakes. He wasn't running the ball as much. And I was hoping we could get through that game without him figuring out that the better an athlete he is, the more it's going to hurt us. And we beat the Eagles that day, and I remember thinking back, wow, this kid's going to be a good player. And then in the Super Bowl year, everybody thinks, okay, franchise quarterback, right? That's who he's trending towards.
Yep.
And then last year you've got all the stuff in the locker room – You've got 20 turnovers and all kinds of questions about the most important position in all of pro sports. So to answer your question, Spike, you go back to the, you know, what he was, what does he do best? What he does best is RPO, throw the ball in rhythm, some play action, get the ball out, and use his legs when necessary. What I would tell you for the Eagles to get to where they want to go to is he's going to have to ultimately win more in the pocket on time. And it goes back to what we just talked about, which is trust those two wideouts you got. Get the ball out of your hands quickly on time and trust them. They're going to win more often than they lose. And don't forget about 26. He's special. You got a great offensive line. So I just think part of it, Spike, is that he's so worried about turning the ball over. And you got to give him some credit.
Yeah.
He has cut way back. Mm-hmm. They've won 9 games in a row or whatever it is. I mean, you got to give the kid some credit. I would just like to see him continue to develop in the pocket.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, Mike. I think you certainly want to commend him for the job he's doing, taking care of the football, is leading the wins. But if you're the Eagles and as you progress here and hopefully playing in the late January and February, you also want to still encourage him that you do have those guys on the outside, and that can make your job a little easier as well. So you want to get them the ball, too, as opposed to not getting them the ball.
And especially in high-percentage opportunities where it's man-to-man, whether it's press or off, you got two elite receivers getting a lot of looks against single man.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it. Recognize it. And take advantage of it.
All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate the time. Believe in Eagles is the pod, and it's great to have you on, man. I appreciate it. Short notice as well. We reach out to you this afternoon.
You.
So thanks so much.
Spike and Ike, man. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, brother. Yes, sir.
There he is.
Mike Mayock.
There he is. Mike Mayock.
Another GM, man.
Dude, we got one GM left. We're like, let's go find another GM.
Let's go find these GMs, man.
I was like, Fritz, we lost a GM. How do we get another GM? He's like, I got an idea. I'm going to get a GM. He went and he got a GM.
Right from this area.
Look, they say Fritz can't produce, and I tell them that's wrong.
That's right.
And today is proof that he can.
And Lombardi's dead to us.
Dead.
Much in Tiki Barber's smile, relax. But he went on McAfee today. You're telling me that's a bigger platform than this?
Come on. I mean, this is WIP in Philadelphia.
Come on, Mike, lock in.
Afternoon show.
Mike's got Chapel Hill on his mind.
Oh, no, wrong. Chapel Bill.
Oh, Chapel Bill. Chapel Bill. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck down there in Chapel Hill, man.
You know, Jack did offer to Lombardi that we could just talk about the Sixers today for one last, and he did pass up. I do think at some point, once he settles in, when maybe the day before the Sixers parade for making the play-in, we'll get Lombardi on.
I got a little bit of an issue here.
What?
He couldn't come on here and break this story down with us.
I know.
Dude. 10-15 minutes?
Yes. I mean, you're on here every week with us.
So what if the city of Philadelphia hates college football?
It doesn't matter.
That's not the point. We want to hear about Bill Belichick going to college football and why you're going with him as his GM. By the way, you notice college football has GMs now.
Yes. Well, that's what Woj left to be GM of St. Bonaventure, their basketball team.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
You're right. And whatchamacallit is with Stanford.
Andrew Luck,
old
right?
quarterback. No, the old quarterback.
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
so,
Andrew Luck.
Is this you officially putting your hat in the ring to run Michigan State?
I'm just saying, man, if they call me.
Dude, there's no way.
Let me tell you. There's only a few jobs I leave this job for.
For GM? You would leave for GM?
At my old school?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
College football GM.
Come on, man.
Now, can I just whisper into your ear? This is for nobody else.
Yes.
Ike. I was in management at one point. It sucks. It sucks so bad.
Everybody mad at me because I can't get players to stay.
Bro, you don't even like
money
email.
In the NIL. Yeah.
You don't know how many emails you're going to have to check? And you're not even going to be able to use your AOL one. You're going to have to use @MitchState.edu or whatever.
I got to get a new email?
Yes. And check it out. You're going to have to change your password every 3 months.
You're right. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, all right.
I'm here.
Good. Yeah, I want you to live your dreams, but.
I'm just saying, it's a school calls. I got to do duty calls. I got to go.
Well, when Kirk Cousins retires, he'll take the job.
I mean, I'm just saying, if Bloomberg called you to be the GM or the coach of the baseball team.
Much rather stay here.
By the way, they're not calling
for us. You wouldn't go coach the baseball team.
No.
Oh, you're so soft, man.
I love the program. I left after 2 years to do this. You know,
you're not a part of the program anymore either.
I disagree.
They don't honor you.
That's not true. I get multiple requests to come talk to the kids. You know, it's ridiculous. For someone that achieved so little and arguably the biggest bust in Bloomsburg baseball history, they seem to always need me for something.
That's true. You know, well, you are a personality.
Well,
now.
I was almost named the one of the athletes of the last decade.
Oh, wow.
At Bloomsburg, because everyone started writing me in.
I would have rioted if that happened.
It was me. I think the Final Four was me, Jari Evans,
yes,
who was an NFL Hall of Famer. And like Franklin Quiete or something, another running back. Larry Webster, the Detroit Lion, for a minute.
I was going to say that name did sound familiar. Okay, Larry Webster.
And then me.
Old lineman?
D-end.
By the way, okay. Calling yourself the biggest bust in Bloomsburg history is probably giving yourself a little too much credit.
That's true, Spike. I got the most money on the team and never played.
Wait, what?
What do you mean you got the most money on the team?
Like scholarship money.
Oh,
okay.
NIL Fritz.
Oh, what, you think I got a bag dropped off of my house?
You got a bag. You may have got a duffel bag. I don't know.
There's no secret meetings to land Fritz at Bloomsburg.
Yeah, what car was Fritz driving at Bloomsburg? I want to know.
My 2003 Honda Accord. Yeah. Scott
Honda. You didn't get free oil changes with that thing? When you were
hold on. There was Quaker Steak and Lube up there.
Yeah.
What?
That was the biggest restaurant in town, Quaker Steak and Lube.
Wait a minute. That's a real restaurant?
Yes, yeah. I've eaten at one of those before.
And do they do oil changes there, too?
No.
No, there's a bunch of car parts. I don't know why. It doesn't really make any sense.
Okay.
Yeah, the inside of the what do you call it, the decoration in there is a lot of...
Oh, cars.
Yeah, stuff, yeah. I actually have eaten up there. My daughter played volleyball up that way.
Oh, really?
It's a central of the state staple.
Yeah, it's York, PA. That's the York, PA area.
So we're heading
into... Horse and buggies. I've seen horse and carriages out there, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. If we go north, the less of that.
Well, where is Bloomsburg specifically?
It's like an hour east of Penn State. So it's the middle of like...
Oh, even further away from Penn State?
No, it's like near York. It's east of State College and west of Scranton. So like right in the middle of Scranton. And State College.
Oh, so higher than York is.
Yes.
York is north. Further south. Okay.
North.
Yeah.
All right. Well, every day this week.
Enough Bloomsburg knowledge.
Yeah. This is way too much.
Every day this week, we are giving away tickets to go see Creed.
Yes.
That's right. Creed is playing the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. If you don't know what that is, it used to be the Tweeter Center. It used to be the Blockbuster or Pavilion, whatever it was called before that. But it's the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion now in Camden, July 12th. Tickets on sale, 10 a.m. Friday, Ticketmaster.com. But we have tickets every day at 4:30. And one of our ticket winners is going to get pit tickets, going to get upgraded. Here's what you do. You call now if you're interested. But let me explain to you what you got to do. We're going to play you a clip of a Creed song, and you have to sing the next line. You can't say the next line. You have to sing the next line with your gut. You have to put your chest out there, really sing it, and you got to get the words right. So 215-592-9494. We have the Creed tickets now. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.